Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. When I was going down for the last time, He reached down and rescued me. Thank you, Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One more time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Father God, I thank you. Holy Spirit, I thank you. Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning. I thank you because of your goodness. I thank you because of who you are. I thank you, Lord God, that you proven yourself to be alive. You are making people well. You are just displaying your grace and your mercy upon mankind at this very time right here, right now. So, Lord, I just want to thank you. And Father God, I want to thank you on behalf of all those people that appear to be ungracious and that are not openly anyway playing their gratitude to you, God. Because I want to thank you because those that are experiencing wonderful and tremendous acts right now of your goodness. And I want to pray this morning that you will help us all to get there, wherever there is. But I know some people are already there because God, the testimonies that are coming from your people are just tremendous. So my prayer this morning, help us all to get there, wherever there is. You made sure that there was a there for Elijah because it was there that you were able to sustain him, provide for him, and keep him when he had come to the end of his fleshly rope. Help us get to there individually and collectively, wherever, whatever your measurement of there is, God, because you are good. And everything you do is good. Everything your Holy Spirit points to is goodness. So I'm just asking you to help us. And Lord, I know we can make it with your help. In Jesus' name this morning. Brothers and sisters, as you can hear in the background a little bit, I'm just printing something out because this whole encounter with God and experience that I've been through for the past couple of months is beyond me. I have no rational way. It's almost I have no intelligent way to explain it or define it. Yet and still, I know it happened. And you see, when you teeter, well, I think the prophet Elijah said it better than me. He said, "Oh, the Baal, the prophets of Baal," and we now know that the prophets of Asherah were there too. But he was expressing this to the prophets of Baal. He said, "How long are you going to be halt between two opinions? How long are you going to stand on the fence?" Brothers and sisters, God has something marvelous for you. Yesterday, there was a lady on the line named Rhonda. And I thank God for Rhonda because she called me back. And we talked. And I realized Rhonda needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The only difference between human beings today and it was a problem during Paul's day, because Paul would ask people, you know, "Since you've been saved, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" And some of the people would tell Paul, you know, what spirit is that? Because they didn't have it. And they didn't have it, and they didn't know they didn't have it. But obviously there was a difference, because those apostles asked people, "Have you been filled since you've been saved?" And there is a difference, because being filled is being filled with God's Spirit. Now you're thinking, well, what's the difference maybe? I know I have the Holy Spirit. Yes, you do. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart, Jesus came, God came, and the Holy Spirit came. But there's more from a standpoint of being filled and being, I guess the best word I could use would be activated. Activated. Or the Bible describes it as being filled with the fullness or more of the fullness and the power. I'm sorry if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're not flowing in the power of God. So, and I'm not talking about the power of God for you. I'm talking about the power of God for you to live right. The power of God for you to see and know and experience and receive all those benefits that are available to you when you get filled. Because when you get filled, you're actually filled with the very presence, the very Spirit of God himself, of Jesus himself. So if you don't have that, you're not operating in the fullness that you could be. Because to be baptized in the Holy Spirit means you are immersed in God himself. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you see things. It even changes the way you hear things. It changes the way you move and operate. It allows you to be led, guided, and directed by God. But it's an inward work. You see, can't nobody tell you, say, blah, 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 blah. And you say, blah, 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 and think you got the Holy Spirit. Nope. What you got is an imitation of somebody telling you a lie. What you got is you being filled with a false spirit. And your mind can trick you into thinking anything you want to think. But the Holy Spirit how can I say this? Can't be imitated. It can't be imitated. It cannot be imitated. It just can't be imitated. So after that door opened, I told you about the door open over the altar. You see, God can totally change you in one fraction of a second. Some people think, oh, it takes God a lot. No, it does not. If your heart is open, and some people think, oh, you know, I got saved. I gave my heart to the Lord. I got to tell you something. It was God who had sent his Holy Spirit out to prepare you to receive him. And that's how you got saved. And that's when the Bible says, according to the will of God and not the will of man. So this is what I want to kind of share with you this morning. It doesn't take God a long time to do anything. I'm going to try to give you a little example. Now, this might not be the perfect example, but it's a little example. Let's say you want to be healed from something. And let's say this thing you want to be healed from, let's say you go, well, let's talk about a good one, cancer. You go to the doctor. The doctor say, I'm sorry to tell you this, Mr. Whoever, you got cancer in your, let's say pancreas. Because the pancreas is very important in the body. Now, I'm not exactly certain what the pancreas does, but I know it's important. And let's say the doctor says, you're going to die. So go home and get your house in order. And I saw a doctor tell somebody the exact time they were going to die. It wasn't the exact date and moment. But they said, you got 6 months. And they thought about it. The first thing they did wrong is they didn't tell the doctor, that's what you say. I'm going to see what God has to say about this. So what happens? They come into agreement with the doctor. Oh, yeah, let's say this person is a Christian, too, but supposed to be a believer. So instead of telling the doctor as a witness for Jesus, they say, okay, Well, the minute they said okay to the doctor, they took Jesus out the equation. Because when you said okay, you came into agreement with what the doctor said. And you know the Bible talks about King Hezekiah and his feet, you know, or was it Asa? I don't know. At the moment, kind of like, might have been Asa. I'm not certain. Anyway, it was Asa. He died because he didn't consult God and he consulted the physicians first. So you tell the doctor, okay. Then the devil starts playing with your mind because you have opened up a gateway. You opened up a door for him to walk in because you made his words, you put his words above whatever God's word would be on that situation. So you go home, the man goes home, and the man thinks about what the doctor said. Then the Holy Spirit tries to get a message to the man. And let's say the man never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, never had the baptism. And let's say the man accepted Christ. So the man that accepted Christ, he has the Holy Spirit in him. He's in him. But like Jesus said, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone opens the door, I will come in and sup with him. So let's say the man goes to his regular religious church service. But you see, the Bible says that the word of God works. And the preacher is inspired by God to talk about faith in God that day. I was leaning over. I was trying to find. I hear my phone. Oh, okay. Thank you, Jessica. The pancreas gives insulin to the body. Okay. So then what does, I believe insulin is a hormone. And I guess the body got to work right through this hormone called insulin that comes from the pancreas. So the preacher is preaching that Sunday. And the preacher says, he quotes Jesus. And let's say he quotes, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Life. Well, this man, he just been given a death sentence. And he hears the preacher say, Jesus said, I am the life. So the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God on earth today, and in that man, because when he became religious and asked Jesus to come into him, the Holy Spirit was already there. So the man accepted the death sentence, and he starts to think about his bucket list, you know. What? I'm going to die in 6 months. Because he don't know the word, see? He doesn't know the word. But God, in his infinite grace and mercy, starts pricking his soul. his soul, which is where his heart is contained. And he starts pricking him with one word, life, life, life. And then the enemy of his soul says, I can't have this. I cannot have this. Even although he was confessing salvation, he was living like hell. This is my home. This body is my home. I have sequestered his Holy Spirit, and now he's getting ready to come to me, and you're going to rise up? I don't think so. So this man, let's say this man I'm talking about, has a family. And he lived a pretty dull life all his life. Go to work, come home, maybe go fishing, maybe go grilling on the grill. Take the family on a vacation once a year for a week. You know the drill. But now the doctor has given him a death sentence, but he heard that preacher say life. Jesus could give him life. And the first thought he thinks is, because remember, he came into agreement with the dark side, the doctor side, so there was no life and no hope in him. And the Bible says hope deferred maketh the heart what? Sad. The Bible say joy doeth good like a what? Medicine. So he breaks down and he tells his wife, and he tells his wife he got to tell his kids. She starts crying. He starts crying. So then they go tell the kids. And all the kids but one kid start crying. And they looked at the one that didn't start crying like he was crazy. And they said, the mama said, not the daddy, because the daddy is wallowing in misery. The kid said, I'm not crying because I read somewhere in the Bible, why should you die before your time? And I don't think it's dad's time. A light bulb went off. And the daddy said, where is that? And they find it. And now the word of life has an inch in. He has a crack in the door. The daddy reads that. And then the Holy Spirit nudges the daddy to go in the New Testament, because that's in the Old Testament. And when he went in the New Testament, he just started reading the first thing that came up, and that was the Gospel of Matthew. He reads about the genealogy of Jesus. He reads about how Jesus was born of a virgin. He reads about how Jesus stayed with his daddy until he was about 30. But then he begins to read about the acts and the works of Jesus. And somehow or another, the Spirit of God moved and led this man to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And he reads, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, there's a connection between the soul of a man or a woman and the spirit of a man or a woman that only the Word of God has the accuracy and the sharpness to cut through, divide, and help us. The man doesn't know it, but you see, what happens is emotions originate from the soul. And the fruits of the Holy Spirit that are mentioned in the Bible, namely love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control, kindness, faithfulness, all of those originate from the soul. So all of a sudden, his soul is being fed the truth. And the man doesn't know that his body is the gatekeeper to his soul. So after he reads that, he goes back. And an if pops up in his mind. If this is true, if Jesus healed people yesterday, today, and forevermore. A question arises in his heart. Can he heal me? Do you think it's possible? And then that devil pops up and say, no, forget it. You dying. You're almost dead. You could die in the next second. But God, in his infinite mercy, answers that question for the man. And he says, you could live for the rest of your life, healed, if what this word right here says is true. Now, you got to understand that inside this man's body that he's hearing these thoughts in his mind and beginning to emanate from his heart, inside his body is the presence of God. Because his physical body that the doctor just told him was dying carries the Spirit of God and the presence of God. As a matter of fact, his body is the temple of God. And the man begins to now doubt his own doubts. And as he's doubting his own doubts, he doesn't know it, but demons are being dispelled from his body. And then he stumbles, because now he's beginning to devour the Word of God. And he stumbles over there to Luke chapter 4, verse 33 and 35, which says, now in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And the demon cried out, with a loud voice saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? Look what the demons say. I know who you are. Jesus, I know who you are. And I've been trying to keep this soul here away, as far away from you as I can. I blinded his mind. I called up my deaf and dumb demons. I didn't want them to hear what you had to say. I didn't want him to be able to comprehend what you had to say. I did not want him to be able to see you. I know who you are, Jesus. The demons talking. You're the Holy One of God. You're the Holy One of God. But the man reads on, and it says, but Jesus rebuked him. That's the voice that was talking to the man, trying to drive out hope, trying to drive out the truth. It say, the man read, but Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. The Bible says, and when the demon had thrown, it was talking about that boy, you know. When the demon had thrown the boy, it came out of him, and it did not hurt him. And the man begins to wonder, cancer couldn't be clean. Sickness, my pancreas couldn't be clean. I wonder if this same thing that came out of this man can come out of me. So he says to himself, this Sunday, when I go to church, I'm going to ask them to pray for me. Because I believe if Jesus could get it out of that man, he could get it out of me too. And hope begin to rise up in that man. So he goes to church. They call to come down to pray for me call. You know the altar call. But before he goes, he says something inside of his own heart. He says, I believe I can be healed. So he goes down to the altar and they pray for him. And he encounters Jesus and something happened. He came to himself laying on the floor. He didn't know that the power of God had overcame him, overtook him, brought him right all the way up into the presence of God, and that God healed him. So when he got up off the floor and went back to his seat, nobody paid him any attention. But he knew inside of him that something had happened. He called it something. He didn't even call it God. He didn't even call it. He called it something. He knew it. His wife knew it when she looked at him. His kids wondered. But that one kid said, Dad, you've been healed, haven't you? And the dad, with tears in his eyes and joy in his heart, said, yes, I have. He said, but I'm going to go to the doctor. Because, see, his faith was, he wasn't certain. And nobody in the church had enough Jesus to discern the fact that he had been healed. So he went back to the doctor. and they give you what they do. And then all of a sudden, 8-10 doctors came in the room. They looking at these x-rays, they looking at, and then they said, we're going to do a full body image, and we're going to do a CT scan, and we're going to do a this, and we're going to do a that. And they did the this, that, the other, the scans and all that. And they came back to the man and said, ain't no cancer in your blood. We can't find the cancer. Maybe we made a mistake. And you see, this man wasn't, he didn't know God enough to stand up and witness and testify to the goodness of God. But they said to him, what did you do? He said, well, I went to church. But he didn't tell them the whole process. He didn't tell them everything that happened prior to him going to the church and standing at the altar. So I want to tell you something this morning. The minute the man uttered out of his heart, I believe, he was healed. He could have continued sitting there on the bench, on the pew. He was healed. He could have got up and walked up. He was healed. The moment he believed, the second he believed in his heart, he was healed. The rest of the story, he was healed. He was healed. He was healed. Jesus redeemed him. So I'll shake off praise God, brothers and sisters. Listen to me carefully. If you purchase a ticket, a plane ticket, or anything to come here June the 11th and 12th, I'm going to honor that. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to do one-on-one. Reason being, I have not finished my books. And I think that my books are vital. I know they are. If you had not planned to come here June the 11th, don't come. I'm canceling it. But if you bought a ticket to come here, come. I will minister one-on-one to you, directly to you. There are things that God is trying to get into you that he cannot do it any other way. Well, I mean, he can do anything he wants to, but from this ministry to you, I am canceling the meeting I said I was going to have on June 11, 12. I'm canceling it. But there are some of you I know have tickets, but I also know you need one-on-one. And I am going more and more in that direction. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm canceling my meeting for June 11th and 12th. If you bought tickets to come here, come. Don't. I do not want any new people. I already have a list of who has tickets to come here. I know who's coming. God knows who's coming. I do not want any outsider. I don't want to use the word outsiders, but what's going to happen here, you got to be and have been prepared for it. Are you with me? And I've got to finish those books because they are very, very necessary. I'm not writing them trying to make no money. I'm writing them so that your life and his ministry can operate in the fullness of him through you and through some of the knowledge that I have. So my meeting for June 11, 12 is canceled until a later date after I finish the books. Because right now, I'm so far behind. I need to catch up so that God can bless me. God is not happy with all this stuff I got stacked up here supposed to go out to people, and I don't have time to do it. And what I'm noticing too is that the U.S. Postal Service is, you know, that's the best we got from up here, and it doesn't cost a fortune. So hear me, I'm not having a public meeting June 11th and 12th. Cancel. If you had already bought a ticket, then you come. I don't want your tickets to be wasted, but God wants you to get one-on-one. God wants you, the hidden things of darkness out of your soul. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God wants me to do one-on-one with you, so come. If I have your name on the list and you've already bought tickets, then I'm looking forward to seeing you. And God has prepared for you to get one-on-one, which you would not have gotten in a public meeting. You would not have gotten that. So I know which way I'm going. I'm already in that direction. I'm already in that flow. I'm going to repeat it again. The meeting I have scheduled for here, June 11th and 12th, has been canceled until a later date. I've got to finish these books. I've got to. Plus, I'm not in shape yet. I'm not fully cured. I know that. And I want you to receive my best human body. And that's always been my objective, to give God's people my best. So, if you had already bought plane tickets to come, come on. You're going to get the best one-on-one you ever had. And that is what is so needed. People got to meet Jesus. People got to know him. But the trash, the garbage that's still hidden in your soul, in your heart, in your mind, in your will, in your emotions, that are preventing you from coming into the fullness of God's restorative power, will be dealt with if you already bought those tickets and if I have your name on my list. If not, do not come. Trust me, I can stop you at the door, and I ain't got no problems with it. The meeting here at the church for June 11 and June 12, I'm letting you know right now, it's been canceled. But if you had bought a ticket to come, come. And what the Lord has told me to do is to do one-on-one deliverance with you, because you ain't never really had it. Now, if that's not true, then the Lord had to talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus about it. If you don't like what I say and what I'm doing, talk to Jesus about it. I hear from Jesus just like you do. As a matter of fact, I hear from Jesus like some of you don't. That's not saying you can't, but you don't and you aren't. And that's because you got those hidden things and those hidden works of darkness pushing you back, pushing back with the express purpose of stopping you from coming into the fullness of God. Are you hearing me? So now we got that out the way. If you already purchased a ticket, if your name is on my list, you come and you're going to get one-on-one. I guess that's why I originally said one day, June the 11th, and then I put it to June 11 and 12. But now I'm going to do those one-on-ones in the time, whatever short, whatever time frame I have, because God knows you. And like I told you this morning, the moment the man believed, he was healed. And so by you buying that ticket, getting on that plane or train or Greyhound bus, whatever, that's your act of faith. And God is going to respond to that. As a matter of fact, he's already responded to it. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to talk to my friend that got a BA, has a BA, and it's truly amazing. And I knew then that there was a piece missing. And as we were talking, the Holy Spirit gave it to me. And that's why the word that I share with you, I know it is for me, you know, about waiting on God and then getting what you're supposed to have. I thank God. God sent me information from 150 exorcists. They're all Catholic, but nevertheless, that's how who first started teaching me. Because I had been invited to speak, I was talking about that with a TED on it. And God told me, don't go. I had agreed to go. I would have been one of the few women there because it was all men. And so I thought, I never think God is trying to hold anything back for me or anything like that. But they found another lady to replace me. They told her up. They told her up. She felt so bad. She was about to give up her ministry over there in Europe. And I told her, don't quit. God told me not to go. He didn't tell you. But she said, no. I said, I think you might need to get closer to God. And then the fruit of that came through yesterday. I got some info from the result of 150 Catholic priests. Exorcists. They are exorcists. And so am I. You check out some of my stuff that's on that website, you'll see a lady exorcist. That was me. Y'all might wonder why Jessica ain't go back. Jessica received a full-scale exorcism from me, from this ministry. I know the difference. And then the Lord spoke to me, he said, you see, I didn't validate no deliverance, don't you? I said, I beg your pardon? Brothers and sisters, Jesus came to seek and to save them that were lost. The world don't know nothing about deliverance. They hear it. But when a person of the world know they want to deal with a spiritual problem and they know they looking for an exorcist or a demonologist. All I can say is God is good. I'm going to finish those books. And I'm so glad that I can go back on my exorcist skills and put some of them to use. But the key is I'm a deliverance. I'm a minister of freedom in the name of Jesus. You must be born again. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? You got to be filled. It's so much like I was listening yesterday and learning during the conversation. Because see, I don't care what you think. When you get 150 men in one room and their whole mission is to destroy the works of the devil, a whole lot of God's wisdom, knowledge, skill, and understanding. So now it's time to put those exorcist skills back to work.
I walk the streets, I hear your voices, I put my arm around a pain-filled world. I see your walls, I feel your struggle, I know you wonder if your hopes run out. But you don't mean much. No, it doesn't take a lot. Yeah, all you need is a touch. I can work with what you got. From a spark to a fire, from a way to a hurricane.
Definition up there, Jessica, the definition of exorcism. What you say, the expulsion or attempted expulsion of a supposed evil spirit from a person or a place. You know what? The way of God, you go down on your knees, and you come up to Christ. I'll see you tomorrow. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Because of you, and now I'm free.
How God works with me. I don't know how he works with anybody else. I had to sit all this time. I had to go through this all this time because I didn't understand when God sent me to an exorcist to be trained. Me and Brother Joe down there on the swamp in Florida. I told y'all about that time I did the wedding and all the people came up on those John boats. And here I am knowing when I first got there, I was so afraid because I knew if anybody wanted to harm me or kill me, all they had to do was push me in the water and those alligators would just eat me up for dinner. Okay, Brother Joe wasn't there because at that time he was waiting to leave his job with the J.W. Marriott Corporation to come so I could go through this exorcism training. Just sitting under an exorcist is how you get it, and being with one as your covering, and they agree to train you. That's the second exorcist. The first exorcist that trained me was a Catholic. The second one was a Christian. And both of those men, they were old then. Both of them have gone to be with the Lord, and my father and the Lord sanctioned the whole thing and covered me while I was there. How did I know? It was going to take 20 years plus for God to use all that exorcist training. Yes, there is a difference. And all those years of being mocked and humiliated by the church. Exorcist, that's not of God. That's what they said. Okay. Well, if it isn't, God don't make no mistakes. But you see, that's why you have to wait on the Lord. The Bible says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Courage. It takes courage. It takes courage. The courage of Jesus to really deal with demons. If you don't have it, you can get it. It comes from God. I'm excited. Greg, you would even remember that Penn and Teller didn't know Bronny was a friend of Jesus. Thank you, Greg, for reminding me of that when I did that Showtime thing and he said, look at that, paper towels. This woman, I can't even remember how he said it. I need to maybe take a look at it again. But Bronny was, and you know what? I'm still using, what kind do I use now, Brother Joe?
Bronny.
I'm still using Bronny. I need to go to them and let them do a commercial for me. Whew. A friend of Jesus. You right, Greg.
Get ready.
website, but I realized I had to go back and take a look because I never ever took my website down. But what I did, I put it under a African American Lady Exorcist.com. So I've had this website up for 19 years. Only I still own a Lady Exorcist.com and LadyExorcist.com. So I'm going to put those two back up. But if you go, I had updated it too. It's still up and it's under a African American Lady Exorcist. It's still up. been up. I updated it. Let me see when I updated it. I updated it when I got to church. It's still up. An African-American lady exorcist. So you see, ain't none of this just happened yesterday. I've been walking in this for 25 years. Not because it took me about 5 or 6 to, you know, get trained and go to school and everything. So it's up. AfricanAmericanLadyExorcist.com. It's up right now. And I updated it when I got to church. I never, ever, ever took it down. Never. So God is great. He better than good. He great. An African-American lady exorcist is still up, been up for 19 years. See you tomorrow in Jesus' name.